everybody. Welcome to hour two of the True Fidelity Show. And as you know, this is time for the Spotlight Artist of the Week. This week, we're going cross country to Annapolis, Maryland, where we have Bob Sima on the line with us. He has a new CD out. It's his sixth studio album. It's called It's Time, and it's time we talk to Bob right now. Bob, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. A very fine CD, my friend. A lot of great music on there, and quite the storyteller. What I wanted, and I was watching some YouTube clips of yours. One thing I found very fascinating is that you're actually quite the funny guy when you're up on stage. I didn't catch that in your music, but I was watching your stage show, and you incorporate some really good humor in there. Is that something that you've developed, or is that just your personality? How does that work?
Oh, it's probably my personality. I mean, the thing is, I don't write funny songs. You know, some people are really good at writing these, you know, kind of funny songs, you know, like John Prine, those kind of guys. I've never had that ability, but I kind of have a little bit of an edgy personality. Kind of grew up in a family with a lot of sarcasm and that kind of thing. So when you're playing live, you know, that it's such a rich environment for, you know, for stuff to be spontaneous and just be funny. And, you know, it also lightens everybody up. You know, when you're at a show, everyone's kind of, I even think that the audience gets a little nervous for the performer, you know, at the beginning of the show. They're kind of like, oh my God, what's going to happen here? So I always try to just make people feel at home and comfortable and, you know, and just kind of trying to be light about things.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, your music is very comforting. It's something I was reading at one point, referred to as a troubadour, which we don't hear much about anymore, especially in this electronic digital age. But it is true. A lot of your songs are very, very much in the troubadour, just sort of telling stories vein. Who did you get inspiration from? Who were you listening to growing up, or is that just the way you your art works?
Well, let me see. I think I'm a troubadour in the sense that a kind of a messenger, if you will. I listen to everything, man. I mean, just everything I heard in some way or another kind of got into me. When I was a teenager, I kind of was into Jim Morrison. You know, I guess who wasn't, right? I mean,
right.
You're trying to find your identity, and here's a guy over there, you know, this mystic, you know. But, you know, just about everything. I listen to all kinds of music, and, you know, and then over the last, you know, probably 10 years, I've just kind of been on a, you know, a different path, just learning about just different paths of wisdom and ways to just, you know, kind of be a better person and have a better experience on the planet. And that's what's really kind of, you know, kind of catalyzed most of my music, has been sort of like this kind of, you know, kind of wisdom and transformational, stuff that's sort of, it's not, I wouldn't consider it music. I probably don't listen to as much music as I listen to sort of, you know, just people that, you know, are out there trying to change the world. So I get more inspiration from that than anything and weave it into my songs.
Right.
So
we're talking with Bob Sima. You can check him out at Bob Sima, S-I-M-A, BobSima.com. Great website. This is your sixth studio album. What are some of the changes you've noticed in your approach to music and your songwriting through those stages?
It's over the six albums, it's just been a complete awakening, you know, if you will, if that makes any sense to you. It's kind of a mystical word, but just, you know, it's just a sort of a deepening presence, you know, in my life and to what's real, you know, what that kind of thing. So, you know, 8 years ago, I think when I made the first album, I was just sort of waking up and sort of, you know, getting out of my head and being more present. And I thought the songs were great. And I think they were sort of like the beginning of my path. But as I've kind of grown and gone through all this different sort of trainings and stuff, it's all kind of come out into my music. And when I say all, it's just the kind of teachings that I've put myself through to live a better life, a little more present. That's probably the thread that's gone through is my growth as a person. I don't think my songwriting's changed a whole lot. I think, most of it starts on an acoustic guitar, and I go into the studio with a bunch of great musicians and create what I think are real powerful productions of really quite simple songs. But in general, the songwriting hasn't changed hugely. It's just that really been me and me not sort of muting the things I want to say. I'm sort of saying them a little more clearly now than I was, say 10 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of your songs have a very positive message, and you're singing about it seems like the condition of the heart, condition of the mind, and it seems like you have a passion for that. You want to tell us a little bit about that in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the this life that we're all on, this path is it might be cliche, but I think the longest journey you'll ever take is from your head to your heart. And I probably spent most of my life up in my head, trying to figure it all out. And over the course of my life, and especially the last 10 years, through different practices, I do breath work, which is a way of coming into your body and into your kind of soul, if that makes sense in a way. I think in general that journey is really what has really brought this music into a more, I think for me, not that it wasn't before, but an even deeper place of meaning. And I think people just connect to it because I think we're all kind of living the same dream in a way, all of our own variations. So I write the songs in a way for my own, I don't know if I could call it therapy, but it's just, whenever I'm kind of really touched by something, like the song Nura, I think you said you guys have been playing. That's an old word from the Aramaic language meaning light. And, you heard Einstein say, at the center of all matter is light. So you are matter, so you are light. And the idea of being, it's kind of a big stretch for some people to think, well, I'm light. Well, actually, the Nura means reflected light. So it's not like you're the light. I mean, you're just here to reflect it. And I think that song itself, in particular, Nura, is just sort of rock. It's kind of like an anthem to say, we're all looking for the guru, but it's us. We're the ones that we've been waiting for. And it's kind of like this, tribal rock and roll beat to it. So, was that a long answer? Was that, no, did no, I somehow no, come back around?
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. In fact, I was going to recommend to everybody, when you go to bobsimma.com, one of the things that I enjoyed was reading your blog. And I don't have time to go through it, but there's one called Five Lenses That Will Shift Your Mood from Pissed to Blissed, which I thought was really cool. I found that quite interesting. So,
cool. Yeah, I wrote that a while ago.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff on the old website, a lot of great music. Bob Simma is the guy you want to go to, and you can order the CD right off of his page. He's on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all that stuff. Bob, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Yeah, I appreciate all the support, and I hope to get out to the West Coast someday and meet you all.
Yeah, that'd be great. In the meantime, everybody can check him out online, and you can also buy the CD. We're going to play Same Energy and the song that you just mentioned, Nura, We Are the Ones. This is Bob Simma, and he is our Spotlight Artist of the Week. We'll be back on the True Fidelity Show.
It's the same energy that moved the bullet, parted the skin and made his lights go dark. As the force that moved his hand to reach out, forgive and open up his heart. The same energy that pulls a teardrop from the corner of his blinded eye, as the energy that drew the old man, the humble witness, to his side. It's the same energy to raise the bat rope, pull the trigger, release the pin, as the energy that created the memory of all the faces he'd never see again. Same energy that took his sight, made his third eye come to life, see the children cry, and the force that ignited his vision and turned his compassion into action. It's the same same. No good, no bad, just the same. Same energy. Our intention can make it change. It's the same energy that makes the whiskey, that makes the glass, that makes the ice, that moves the foot to push down the pedal, the metal stuff out the life. The same energy that vibrates to make the sound of the sirens and the bells, as the hum of the silence in the cathedral, as a thousand hearts they thrill. It's the same, same. No good, no bad, just the same. The same energy. Our intention. Start a whole new universe with the wink of an eye. You can make love, make peace, make war, make a difference, raise the vibe. The same energy that makes you move mountains, burn bridges to keep you in your bed, as a force that moves your spirit to start a revolution in your head. The same energy that makes the flood and moves the blood and places the blame, turns on the power and raises the flower and raises the eyebrow and raises the game. It's the same, same, same. Same, same, same. Same, same, same. Our intention.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her radio. She is so last decade. If she had any real friends, they'd totally give her a True Fidelity makeover.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. tonight. We bring the love and we bring the light. We are the ones, we are the ones we've been waiting for. There's a writing on the wall and knocking on the door, and we are home. There's a call of the wild and a whisper in the wind, and we just know.
You are listening to True Fidelity. You're way smarter than you look.
I was want to punch. So I went home to face a storm, and the thought of you keeps me warm. But up in the distance, even in the dead of night, if we can make it to the morning, we can get things right. It's been a tough go lately. I hate choosing sides. What we do in the darkness, yeah. What we do in the darkness, cause you
back, everybody. You know, here at True Fidelity, we love what we do. We play the best independent music and indie bands, unsigned bands you've never heard, like that, the Arkells with Come to Light. And I love the name of this group, the Lonely Biscuits. They need some gravy on them, with Circle Lines and Ja Wolf doing Drive featuring Chain Gang. Great music right there. And we also do other things like this.
Hey everyone, Voxy here, and today's music resource website is gigwise.com. Gigwise is a British online music news site that features music news, live photos, album and live music reviews, interviews, music festivals guide, concert tickets, and video content. They boast first for music news since 2001, when the site was launched by Simon Perlocky and Andy Day in Liverpool as a gig listing site. Over time, the site evolved into the music news site it is today, and in 2006, the site relocated its main office to London. Once again, that's gigwise.com. Check it out. This is Voxy, turned on and tuned in for TrueFi.
All right, everybody, a special bonus today. We got an email from a super talented guy who was rolling through town and wanted to know if he could stop in, and we checked it out and said, sure,
it's
why
just
not?
So rock and roll.
Isn't
I'm
it?
I'm just in town.
You see where the magic
in?
Happens.
Yeah.
Then he shows up and he goes, what a dump. No, it's an interesting, fascinating story, this guy. His name's James Cottrell, and he is currently living in L.A., but he's from England.
Yes.
And he has had a huge hit in Austria, shared the stage with the Biebs.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah. As well as some other.
Yeah. Train and Bryan Adams, which is, you know, nice. Not a couple of good Canadians right there.
Absolutely.
And he's now in the studio with us. James, how's it going, buddy?
I'm all right. It's a real pleasure to be here. So thanks for having me.
In studio.
In studio, yeah.
Accent and everything.
No.
Yeah. You know, we used to have a lot of people in studio, but we've sort of switched over to the phone these days, just easier for everybody, you know. But you happen to be traveling through.
I'm a face guy.
It's great to have you in. Tell us really quick your backstory, like how you got started and what you're doing in the States, and just kind of bring us up to speed.
Well, so as you can hear, I'm a Brit, and I'm from a small town in England that's only on the map because it's the birthplace of William Shakespeare. It's a town called Stratford-upon-Avon, and it's right in the middle of the country. But I moved away from there as part of my college degree to Vienna in Austria because my degree is in German, so I speak German as well. But while I was in Austria, I was, you know, classic broke student. And I thought, I'm going to start busking to pay my way through my degree. And I ended up recording with a really great producer over there called Alex Carr, who'd had some big hits, but mainly with German artists. And he said, oh, I like your song Unbreakable. Can we take it into the studio? I was like, yes, of course we can.
And
that song just blew me away because it went to number one in Austria, spent 24 weeks in the Billboard charts. I think pretty much all of them in the top 20. Which
what was that like? I mean, nice. Just to wake up one day and see it just climbing the charts.
Yeah, I mean, I was just really happy to hear hear it on one radio station one time.
Sure.
And right. then when it ultimately got played like many times daily, and I would switch between stations to avoid
There's
my
me.
Song.
There's
like,
me. Yeah. There's me.
Awesome.
It's
so most, sick of this song.
It's the most arrogant problem I've ever had.
Did you get to the point where you were recognizable on the street?
Yes, which was really funny because it was actually on
a
weekend.
It's that busker dude.
Yeah, no, it was when my mom and my brother came over to visit me in Vienna because I was actually releasing the album, and I said, I'll come over because I want you to, you know, at least be there for the release party. And I put the album out and we were just sitting in a Starbucks and they said, oh, so do you get recognized yet? And I said, nah, of course I don't. And then this girl taps me on the shoulder and said, can you sign my cup? And my mom still won't let me forget that.
She's like, you liar.
I know. She's like, okay, so you played that one down.
Let me read some stats that are pretty impressive here. 50,000 plus record sales.
Nice.
125 top 40 chart weeks. That's impressive.
Wow.
10 top 40 singles, 30 top 40 albums.
No, three.
Three. Yeah, three.
I'm not Prince.
3 top 40 albums, 3 million YouTube views, and probably more. 600,000 Spotify streamers, 25,000 Facebook followers. Has been done shows to audiences up to 85,000. I assume that's got to be one of the Bieber shows.
No, that wasn't. There was actually Europe has a ton of open air festivals that go on in the summer, and I got to play the main stage at the biggest one of all of them, which is called Donauinselfest, which is the Danube Island Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the gig that I was doing with Train.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that was really cool. I mean,
what
just,
is that like?
Just awesome.
I mean, we have a poster in here. You can see that's probably what you were looking at.
That's almost, I'd say that's about a fraction bigger. What is that, Woodstock?
No, it's one of the Monsters of Rock festivals.
Yeah.
But still, you're looking out at this just incredible sea of faces. Do you find that more intimidating, or do you find it more intimidating to play in front of, I don't know, maybe 25, 30
It's going to be way harder to sing for you like 5 or 6 a bit later on, because when you're with 5 or 6 people, you can read every milli reaction in between seconds. You know, I know when you switch off,
we'll be careful.
You need to get to the chorus now, dude. Get on with it. Whereas with these guys,
the phones pop out.
I know. These when you play at 85,000, you know, half of them might be listening. The other half are just getting drunk.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, because that's what festivals are about. Sure. So it's just way more chilled out, I think.
Cool. Yeah, that would be an amazing experience to hop on stage with that many people staring you in the face. Someday. with the success. Well, I mean, we have to talk about, you know, you're throwing names around like, you know, Bieber and Bryan Adams and stuff. Did you open for Bieber?
Yeah.
And where was this at?
So that was, again, in the Germany-Austria region. For some reason, Carly Rae Jepsen wasn't continuing with the tour support, because she was supposed to be doing the whole world. And I got a phone call on Wednesday from the person that was organizing the concert and said, oh, do you fancy supporting Justin Bieber on Saturday? I was like, yeah, sure, sounds great. And put the phone down, because that just doesn't happen.
Who's punking me?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Who's my buddy pranking?
And he called me back and he said, no, seriously, Carly Rae Jepsen can't play. They want you to fill in. I'm like, you're not joking. No, you need to be there for a sound check at this time. I was like, okay. So it was literally one of those overnight bit of luck, right time.
Not
right
even
place
time
things.
To get nervous, right?
No. Wow. And to be honest, I mean, I think there were like 25,000 at that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was loud. I mean, you know,
it's all girls,
all of them, and they hit notes that actually don't exist. You know, you go to the top of the piano, keep going a couple of octaves, and then you hit the Beliebers, and they're incredible. They are incredible. I mean, honestly, I loved them, because like, I thought they
were
just
supportive. Did they like your stuff?
I figured they'd just be there for Justin and be like, I'll get this dude out of the way, because as soon as he's done, Justin comes out. And they loved it. They sang along, clapped along. I loved it. And I just played it solo as well. I just figured, you know, just go out there with a piece of wood.
Did you get to meet the Biebs?
I did. Short and sweet, though. The guy's, he's a busy dude.
Yeah, he's got a big posse. Everybody's around.
But,
what about Bryan Adams?
And I see Bryan Adams, that was a totally different story. That was probably the greatest honor of my career so far, because like, he did the whole come on stage thing, and I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, okay, he's just checking me out for 30 seconds to be polite. He stayed for the rest of the set.
Wow.
And then he asked me for a signed copy of my album at the end.
Get out.
Aww. And I'm like, you're kidding me. That's what I do to you now.
Yeah.
Come on, this is so backwards. But that was really, really great, and he's such a down-to-earth guy, but I mean,
That's what I've heard. I have not met him, but I know people who have.
He was just unreal. And then he played a 3.5 hour show, and I was just like, okay, now he's showing off. But you know, he's Brian Adams. He's so good.
And so, okay, wow. So what brings you then from all of that, which, I mean, most people would be, you know, hey, I'm sticking around in Austria, and I'm just going to rock the charts, and I found my niche, right?
Yeah.
No, you switch gears, come all the way over to the West Coast. Now you're living in LA, you're out of there, and you're kind of on this sort of fact-finding mission about the states and up and down the coast. And what mindset was that?
I like challenging myself. I mean, it's very easy to get comfy in a zone of, okay, so there's some radio support, there's some TV support, you know, I'm on a certain level over there, which is very nice, and sure. I really value it because I know how tough it is to get there, even harder to stay there, and I know how easy it can go away. But I figured I'd need to keep challenging myself to get better. I need to try and take it further because I truly believe that the music I'm making has the potential to go bigger and keep getting bigger and for people, more and more people to enjoy. So I thought, right, let's go really hard. Let's jump in with the sharks and head to California.
LA, here.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, I'm loving it so far. I mean, but like,
weather's good.
Yeah, weather's good. Yeah, but I mean, you've got to take that out and then try and look at LA without the weather, because it's a very different city if you took that sunshine away.
Oh, for sure. it can be brutal.
Yeah, and you know, and it was really good because like the whole point of this entire
anybody recognized you?
The Austrians and the Germans.
All the tourists.
Yeah, there's a big expat community, and I'm the favorite now.
That's awesome.
But that's the whole point of this whole trip, is just to be inspired in new ways again. Because I wrote like the first couple of albums busking or like on a very small level. And that's, I think, what made them sound real, even though they are bright pop songs, you know.
Right.
You know, sound kind of sometimes a bit more superficial than what other people might be writing about. But they mean something to me, the songs. Mm-hmm. And then I got to this point where I was just playing the same four chords, and I thought, oh no, come on, this is rubbish. So I just threw it all away, and I thought, right, let's challenge this. And that's what I'm doing now. So you're going to find Tacoma is going to find its way into a song at some point.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Hey, we like that. You do have some, you're doing some gigs up in Seattle here?
Yeah. So the best thing to do is actually just go on my website, because there are going to be like four or five in the area, and I'm going to put them up actually today. So nice. You're going to see them. But it's basically around the Seattle area. So and they're all going to be really small, unplugged, acoustic, right up close shows. So, you know, like the coolest wine bars, they're going to have me singing. That's how it works.
And the website, what's the address on that?
It's just jamescottrell.com. But don't worry if you spell it wrong, because it will correct it for you.
Well, I'm going to spell it for you, right? It's Cottrial. And we'll put a link of that up on our Facebook page, so you can just click and go over to it. But otherwise, put it. It'll do the autocorrect thing.
Yeah, which is really cool.
So those dates for around the Seattle area aren't listed yet, or they're going up?
No,
later
I'm
today?
Putting them up tomorrow, because I'm getting two more confirmed as we speak.
Right. So what are you working on these days? What do you have coming up? Obviously, you've had all this great success, so now you're challenging yourself. Are you working on a new album? Are you working on, you know, you've got a lot of songs that are already out there. What do you have in the works?
Yeah, so I'm demoing the fourth album literally whilst traveling around at the moment, and just because I think I've got the music pretty much ready, but it's the lyrics that I want to be more special than they are right now. So those are the things that I've been searching for a bit deeper. So, you know, I've been to a few prisons on my way up the coast, been to Folsom, you know, checking out the cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I've seen the beautiful stuff like the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, and I'm just letting myself be inspired for the lyrics. So that the main purpose of this entire trip for me is to just share my music with America for the first time.
Did they let you into Folsom, or you just saw the outside?
I got as far as the gate, and then some guy shouted at me real loud.
Yeah, back up.
Yeah.
So do you have a game plan? I assume you're trying to break into the U.S. market, which, you know, everybody would likes to. And then we have also the Canadian market and lots of different things. Do you have a game plan on that, or are you just trying to see what happens?
No, I think if you my personal approach is, if I start focusing too much on, oh, I really want to land a major label deal or something, I'm just going to focus on the wrong things. Because I think the important thing for me is that I keep concentrating on the music, and the rest should filter out, you know, and follow through. So the plan is just keep doing, in my case. So I'm going to just keep going around in circles and visiting people in new places and playing as many shows as I can.
Fascinating.
Old school.
And is that, so how many days are you doing this?
Well, at the moment,
you started in LA.
Yeah.
And where's this taking you?
Well, I planned on 3 months, and I planned on doing pretty much the whole of the US. and I'm realizing I've completely underestimated the size of this place. It's taken, because like, I figured, okay, you know, so the West Coast is like 1,200 miles long, and so I'll go here and here. But the problem is, like I said, I wanted to discover all these things. So I'm like, well, I'll just spend 2 days in Folsom, and then I'll go to Santa Cruz because of the guitars, and then I'll go to, you know, Portland, and then, oh, but Eugene's kind of nice too. And then I basically...
So are you like couch surfing?
Oh, I've done everything from Airbnb to hotels to the back of the car, whatever takes my fancy, you know? It's like proper...
This is a massive country.
That is
yeah,
so awesome.
But I'm realizing it's taken me 3 weeks to get up here to Washington, and I'm thinking, yeah, Boston's a long way away.
And lots in between.
I have some shows on the East Coast already set in for like the first week of July, July 4th weekend.
You gotta get there by
and it's
then.
All like New York and Boston. So I've got the rest of June to get there. But I want to go to Austin and Nashville and New Orleans and Atlanta and Miami. And I'm like,
catch
dude.
Them on the way
and you
back.
Can't do any of those in like a day. I'm just telling you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know. And that's what where my mistake was. I was like, yeah, Nashville, maybe 2 days. Yeah. Just, no.
And, yeah, that, and even that's barely scratching the surface. But still. Well, good luck on that trip.
Thank you. Yeah.
Fascinating stuff, James. Great to have you in the studio, and we're gonna keep our eye on you.
Thank
you. We're gonna follow watch and see how things are going. I hope you'll stay in touch.
Try and come to one of your shows too.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna play a couple of songs right now, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna do a live tune. What we're gonna play right now is "By Your Side," and then your big hit, "Unbreakable."
Very cool.
All right, so we're going to roll those and we'll be right back here on the True Fidelity Show.
Wake up, it's time to shine. Don't worry, I'll be just fine. Believe me. Believe me. Keep your head up, stay on your toes. Cause no one knows how this world goes. It's easy, it's easy. So don't be scared of what's ahead, and just remember what I said.
Song again. Are you happy that you're going to go to sleep tonight singing this song and feel as depressed as you ever have in your entire life? Well, you need to listen to True Fidelity because we're liberating you from this kind of thing, from the musical mainstream, man. You just got to give it a chance.
Be a lie behind my back. I'm fed up by the secrets I can't keep track. Oh baby, I'm just fed up of you. You used to be my everything, my every thought and word, and then there were the secrets and everybody heard. And baby, I don't know what to do. I thought we were unbreakable. I lack and I'm fed up by your bitching, baby. Just get off my back, baby. I'm just fed up of you. So what are we gonna do about the problems that we have? I suppose that we should separate, cause then we'd have a chance. And baby, I don't know what to do. I thought we were unbreakable. That we were more. I thought we were unbreakable. And worth fighting for. I thought we were unbreakable. I thought that we were more.
That is the big hit song by James, Unbreakable, that ruled the charts over there in Austria.
Yeah.
How about that? What That's a great awesome. What a great guy.
That was a fun interview.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun. We wished him the best going up and down the coast and everything he's doing. He actually flies from here over and does shows and then comes back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So he was telling us he goes from like...
He said he had to fly out to London on Wednesday.
So, yeah, and there's like, what did he say, 7,000 people? What did he say, 3 to 7,000 people or something?
Yeah, he has like 3 or 5 shows booked he's got to do and then come back to
kind
of busking sort of nature here. It's kind of a cutie, too.
Oh, look at Voxley. Yeah. We missed you last week, Vox.
Not what I heard.
Yeah, we did.
I heard you made fun of me.
No, we didn't.
No.
I was working on my Voxley voice.
Yeah.
But not making fun.
We were making fun. We were going to try.
Let me hear the Voxley voice.
Nah, lost it.
No. Nah.
I had to work for a week on it and then I just gave it up.
All right.
But
not,
we tried.
Not enough marijuana.
Pretty much. not enough of a lot of things. So where were you? What was going on?
Well, it was.
You went to mom's.
I went to my mother's in Portland.
Which was, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's
great.
Yeah, for the whole Mother's Day, you know.
It was like an extended Mother's
extravaganza.
Day.
Extravaganza.
Was it just you or did you take the crew?
No, I took my daughter with me and then.
Got to see grandma.
Yeah, my sister and her two kids. So
it was a pack.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was separate though because my sister has had Friday, Saturday off. I had Sunday, Monday off.
So you did shifts.
When I showed up, my sister was there for about an hour more before she left. We traded. It was like a roll in, roll out kind of thing.
And then didn't you just have a show recently?
I did with Devil on a Leash.
Where was that at?
That was at O'Malley's.
Oh, how's things rolling at O'Malley's these days?
Hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of ventilation.
That was
in
a
that
hot
place.
Day. And
anybody out?
A handful of people. There's not a lot of people roaming around O'Malley's on a really super hot Friday night.
Yeah, and what time did you start? Because that's always the key.
9:30.
You're too early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean Tacomans are
it was more dead later in the evening.
Really?
Yeah. It was just, you know, it's what we had like two or three in a row nice warm days last week, and everybody's out enjoying it. So yeah. I mean, I love it. You know, the more dehydrated you get, the quicker the alcohol kicks in. So
I love it. C-Fry, what's happening in your world? You just got tickets to see The Cure.
I'm going to go see The Cure.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You're going to take your camera?
I am, you know, and I'm still waiting back. I applied to that show too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. And I haven't heard back yet, but it's really early to hear back.
I'll tell you this. I've been watching the set list. This is one of the shows that I'm really anticipating and I'm excited about this summer. I have tickets to see several different shows, but The Cure haven't toured in a long time.
Right.
They've been around 30 years. And they're digging deep. And I've been watching their set list. They're playing an average of 33 songs per show.
Whoa.
Yeah. 3 to 4 encores per show.
Wow.
And no two shows so far have been the same.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool, but also at the same time.
You really liked that one?
Right. Yeah. Because there's one that I saw that they played in Austin, Texas, which was the one I would wanted to be at.
Yeah.
Because when they opened up in New Orleans and they played like an entire show of obscure, like deep cut songs and none of the hits. And then in Austin, they mixed it up.
Yeah.
And then the next night in Dallas, they cut out, you know, like Friday I'm in Love and a few others. So they're not playing the same show. So it's going to be a big roll of the dice.
Right.
But I'm excited about it. It should be lots of fun.
Yeah. It's like opening a Christmas present, right?
That's true. And apparently the opening act, I can't remember the name of them, but they sound a lot like the Smiths.
Oh.
Which is, you know,
and
if you like Morrissey.
Depressing?
Well, that I don't
know. Actually, I like the Smiths, actually.
Yeah, I do too. You know what? I never found the Smiths that depressing.
It was Morrissey, right.
Morrissey is always depressed.
I got ahead of my joke. That's actually what happened there. I love the Smiths. I got ahead of my joke.
Yeah, a lot of people were down on the Smiths, talked about them being depressing. I never found that to be the case.
The
but
Smiths
when Morrissey went solo... He did.
Yeah.
So, and then there was always Depressed Mode. We know about those guys.
Yeah.
I still like them. Hey, yeah. I think that's the end of the show, though. So no more talking.
Oh, that's what the finger signal said. Anyway.
That's right. But we'll be back again next week. I hope you enjoyed the show. We want to thank James for stopping in, Bob, Sima, and Will for being on the big program and all the great music that we played. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Big D.
I'm C-Fry.
I'm Voxy.
And for Rebecca Ann Curtis, thank you so much for doing the engineering duty. You did a great job back there. Squeeze is always perfect on the sound. And you out there for listening, thank you. God bless you. We'll be back next week. Adios.
I heard it said in life that it's all just a game, full of happiness, ups and downs and pain. Well, if that's the case, well, I don't wanna play. It's always getting me down. 'Cause it'd be fine if it was the first time, but please don't take me for no fool. 'Cause I'm not blind, you're out of line. I'm tired of you being so cruel. So make up your mind. Oh, it's about time for you to start playing by the rules. Oh, I'm giving up, giving up, giving up. I'm giving up, giving up on you. I heard it said in life the money buys everything. Well, I guess that you only cared about the size of your diamond ring. Well, if that's the case, you're not what I'm looking for. It's always getting me down. 'Cause it'd be fine if it was the first time, but please don't take me for no fool, cause I'm not blind and you're out of line. I'm tired of you being so cruel, so make up your mind. Oh, it's about time for you to stop playing by the rules. Oh, I'm giving up and giving up and giving up. I'm giving up and giving up on you. You make my life a living hell. Oh, oh. I'm trying to find a way to say farewell. How many chances do you need? To realize your future is without me. Cause it'd be fine if it was the first time, but no, please don't take me for no fool, cause I'm not blind and you're out of line. I'm tired of you being so cruel, so make up your mind. Oh, it's about time for you to start playing by the rules. Oh, I'm giving up and giving up and giving up. I'm giving up and giving up on you.
Well, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as always, this stuff in lieu of actual entertainment.
You have been listening to the True Fidelity Show. Feel free to contact us at truefishow@gmail.com. Please tune in again next week. Same time, same place. We'll see you then.